as we get ready for Oregon and Stanford. Not sure many felt either team would take their exact path to this matchup. Once again, we're fortunate enough to get the cardinal view from our guest, quarterback of the 99 Pac-10 champs, played at Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. Now at his ninth season as the Stanford radio analyst, he'll be alongside play-by-play man Scott Reese. We welcome back Todd Husak. Todd, always a pleasure. How have you been?
Doing great. It's been an up and down season, I think, for both of our squads. But, gosh, you said 9 years I've been doing it. We've had some incredible matchups between the Ducks and the Cardinal in that span. Hopefully another great one on Saturday.
Yeah, and usually meaningful. But I want to start with your position, quarterback. A lot of people, I thought, felt the gig would go to the Palo Alto guy, Keller Crist. Then it turned out to be Ryan Burns. Then his last two starts, Notre Dame, Colorado, struggled. They made the switch back. What did you see or maybe not see from Burns that you felt necessitated David Shaw to make that change?
Well, the straw that broke the camel's back was the Colorado game, 3 interceptions and a brutal fumbled snap at the 5-yard line, and inside the 5-yard line with a few minutes left that, you know, touchdown there wins the game. So I think a lack of attention to detail, especially when it comes to holding on to the football, making good decisions. The production from that position in the passing game has not been good. Stanford has only been averaging about 150 passing yards per game, which is astoundingly low. If you look at the national ranking, Stanford right now I think is like 5th or 6th from the bottom. The only teams below them are teams that basically just run the option, right? Navy.
Right.
I think Air Force is actually ranked higher than Stanford. I mean, those are kind of mind-blowing numbers when you look at it. So just the production, the consistency, no big plays out of that position. They had to make a change, and if you look at what Keller Crist has done the last couple weeks, it hasn't been much better. 88 yards passing against Arizona, who, and we saw what happened to them a week ago against Washington State, and then just 60 yards against Oregon State. So it hasn't been the prolific offense I think people were hoping for when they made the switch. So they need to get much better at that position in the last few weeks because there will be opportunities for some big plays against Oregon if things go according to plan.
When you consider a staple of the program, the offensive line, you know, they lost the entire left side, Graham Schuler the center, they moved Casey Tucker from the right, A.T. Hall, a first-time starter, a new quarterback. I know this is all easy with the benefit of hindsight, but how realistic to think it was this offense could kind of pick up where it left off after they beat Iowa in the Rose Bowl and at least not need time to grow or gel?
Yeah, it was certainly not going to be as good as last year. They also lost starting tight end Austin Hooper, who had another year left. He went to the NFL and was a third-round pick, now playing great for the Falcons. Devin Kaju, starting wide receiver. I mean, there's a lot of talent gone from that squad that was so good a year ago. They averaged 41 points a game in conference last year. I mean, they were a high-flying, high-powered offense. I think people were expecting a step back, but what has happened, they literally were the lowest scoring offense. They had 6 touchdowns through 8 weeks. and 2 of those touchdowns came in the final minutes against both Washington and Washington State in games where they were being blown out. There was a 4-week stretch where the defense had outscored the offense. So, I mean, there's a difference between taking a step back from one of the best offenses in the history of the school to literally one of the worst. So I think there were a lot of concerns. Yes, the offensive line has not been nearly as good. Losing a first-round pick at guard and a fifth-round pick at tackle will hurt. But everything here, you know, from the offensive staff all offseason is, you know, we still have the talent. If you look at the guys, they're all 3-, 4-, 5-star recruits. So I think if Stanford fans have become a little spoiled where you just plug in the next piece and everything's going to work, and that just hasn't happened. Now, there's been a lot of injuries. Another key component, Daniel Marks, one of the best blocking fullbacks in the country, maybe the best, has missed the majority of the season with an injury. He might be back on Saturday, with, you know, fingers are crossed. Christian McCaffrey was dinged up for about 3 weeks. He finally missed a game later in the season. Bryce Love, the other running back. Injuries have hit this team very hard, but there's still enough pieces. There's still enough big recruits that you would think this team could average, you know, 24, 28 points a game, especially looking around the conference, and it seems like every week every team's putting up 40-plus. yet Stanford had trouble scoring touchdowns. So, you know, the last 2 weeks they've got a little momentum going. I mean, there's no doubt Christian McCaffrey is back healthy again. He's looking much more like the 2015 version, and that has helped the offense finally punch it in the end zone a few times.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to hit on that because, you know, last year was historic. Then you hear people saying he had a down season, not understanding that he was really good, actually, the first two games against K-State and USC. You know, he got stifled by Washington, but who hasn't? But you mentioned it quickly. Is it safe to say right now he's healed and back playing at his, I guess you would call it, all-purpose lethal level again?
Yeah, he's still leading the conference in rushing yards per game. He had 199 a week ago against Oregon State. So it's tough to top what was literally the most productive season in the history of college football a year ago. To expect him to do something like that with all the changes on offense is certainly not realistic. He did get hurt against USC, and you know, the team has not come out and said that, but he was not the same player against UCLA, Washington State that he was in the first 2 weeks. But you could tell right from the get-go that he was healthy against Arizona, the way he returned that opening kickoff, and then certainly the performance he had a week ago. What the team has really lacked all season, both in the run and pass game, has been big plays. And last week we saw Bryce Love peel off along with the three longest plays of the season for Stanford all happened last week. So, you know, the offense hopefully can keep some of that momentum going. We've seen Oregon give up big plays. The defense for Stanford has played pretty well this season, so they will be tested certainly against the Ducks. But if the offense can minimize mistakes, maybe get a long pass play, which they have been few and far between, and then continue to lean on McCaffrey, who, you know, even with teams focused on stopping him when he's 100%, the first guy just rarely brings him down. So it should be a fun matchup, and McCaffrey is definitely one of the most exciting players, not just this season, I think I've ever seen in all my years of watching football.
I think a lot of people would concur as we continue with Stanford radio analyst Todd Husak. I know you concentrate on your game, but you get to watch tape, and you saw this Washington team up close and personal on that Friday night. You know, be it their sophomore quarterback, Jake Browning, a tenacious defense. They just seem to excel all over the place. What's kind of popped for you, and how legit do you think they are to not only vie for the conference title, but maybe the whole thing?
There's a long list. I think, number one, they are incredibly well coached. They came out and executed a flawless game plan on both sides against Stanford. They're incredibly efficient offensively. Jake Browning, his numbers are insane. He's averaging a touchdown pass every fourth completion. That's tough to do. He had 18 completions a week ago, and six of them were touchdowns. So, I mean, when they're taking shots, they're making them count. It helps when you can run the ball effectively. I think one of the other things, well, two other things that stand out, they are really, really good athletically. I mean, they had a front four. They really only rushed four the entire game against Stanford and had eight sacks.
Wow.
I mean, they are big and strong and powerful up front. Their secondary plays well, especially when the front four is able to create some pressure. And then on offense, they can do what they want. Stanford did not touch their quarterback until about 2 minutes left in the game. So they are good up front on both sides. They're athletic, they're well coached, and they are balanced. I think that's what separates them, especially after watching Stanford over the years. When they're at their best, they're running for 240 and passing for 240. So you basically make teams. How are you going to play us? All right, you're going to try to put eight in the box and stop the run. We'll take advantage of the man-to-man matchups on the outside and rip you in big plays in the passing game. Washington has the ability to do that. And I think Jake Browning, he should be in the top two for the Heisman discussion right now because he is running that system perfectly. He has some good playmakers around him, but in his numbers are – I can't remember seeing numbers like that before. With that few, it's like Matt Leinart, maybe, you know, with that many touchdowns, that few interceptions – hovering around 70% completion rating. But they are so balanced that teams cannot be right. However you play them, they're going to make you pay, and they're really good up front, and they have lots of athletes and speed everywhere. It's a tough matchup, and they're really well coached. I mean, they check pretty much every single box, and that is a tough place to play. Holy smokes. Stanford ran out of Husky Stadium, and about halfway through the first quarter, that game was over. So, they're rolling right now. They've been a fun team to watch, and it's been amazing how quickly – they've sort of adapted to Chris Peterson's style and system, and how well he's been able to recruit, not just recruit, but I think develop the talent that he's got up there.
Well, Oregon witnessed 680 yards and 70 points. I think you're going to get a lot of people concurring with you. I want to move to the Stanford defense. During the preseason, we kind of put the spotlight on Solomon Thomas, the defensive end. And I know he's having a good season. And from last year, I don't know, it seems like, I don't know what kind of work he put in. He looks like one of those more lean, mean fighting machines. what kind of force is he? And how would you evaluate the season he's having now as a junior?
Well, he's the leading tackler for Stanford, which is not easy to do from an interior lineman spot. He had 12 tackles against Notre Dame. David Shaw, head coach David Shaw, has typically been a pretty mellow, low-key guy. He does not hype many people. He told, I emceed an event at the start of the season, he told the group, you know, he thinks Solomon Thomas has taken a step and will be a national defensive player of the year level player because of his work physically in the offseason. Coach said he runs like a sub 4.6 at 285 pounds. So, I mean, that's the type of physical talent he has. He's worked hard in the offseason physically. He's bigger, stronger, faster. He has that, you know, leadership capability. He came to the team after that bad loss, and they had to go out to Notre Dame. He gave a fiery locker room speech and then goes out and delivers with 12 tackles. I mean, he's been the leader of that unit along with Quentin Meeks in the secondary. But, hopefully he's going to be one of those, between him and Christian McCaffrey, those are going to be two of the biggest recruits for Stanford this offseason because both can leave and go to the NFL. But I know Stanford fans want them to stick around. Those are two of the best talents offensively and defensively Stanford's had in some time.
All right, a final thought. I want to move to the secondary. You mentioned injuries. I mean, first of all, the Rose Bowl team lost Ronnie Harris on a corner, Cody Whitfield at free safety. There was an injury to Elijah Holder. He missed 5 games. Quentin Meeks missed some time. What kind of a challenge has it been for Dwayne Aquina, the DB coach, and how has he done kind of mixing and matching, keeping this unit together?
He's earned his paycheck this year. There's no doubt about it. Dwayne Aquina, one of the most seasoned coaches. He's actually coached more first-round secondary players than any coach in history. He's coached some great ones between Texas and Arizona. And I think he has another future one in Quentin Meeks. Quentin Meeks is that type of player. Both he and the other starting corner, Elijah Holder, were out for Washington and Washington State. And we saw what happened there. He comes back, and all of a sudden the defense is back to playing at a high level. You look at Stanford's games, they allowed 40 and 44 to Washington and Washington State. No other team has scored more than 15 against them. So they've played at a high level. They're able to. They're based more on the secondary. I think they're able to play a lot of man-to-man coverage, and the coach feels comfortable leaving his guys out there on an island, and as a result, they can bring more 5- and 6-man pressures because they're confident the secondary can hold up. Quentin Meeks did get beat last week for the first time all season on a long touchdown pass, and he's still not 100%. He hurt his knee earlier in the season. But when he's healthy, his instincts are top-notch. His athleticism is really good. He's taken 3 interceptions to the house in his career to this season. So, I mean, he's kind of a difference maker on that defensive side. And the other second, they've rotated through some young players. Frank Buncombe has been a guy who kind of came out of nowhere, had a big pick six in his first start. So the secondary, much better at ball hawking than they have been in years past, but I think partially because of the more man-to-man coverage they've been able to play.
All right. Hey, terrific insight and info as always. You and all your guys travel safe to Eugene. Have a great broadcast with Scott Reese. And Todd, we always appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Take it easy.